Peak rave season is approaching here in Las Vegas since one of the most iconic festivals, the Electric Daisy Carnival, returns to the Speedway in May. Today on CityCast Las Vegas, we have longtime raver Mary Michaud to give us a look at the Las Vegas rave scene and tell us how to prep if it's your first time out on the dance floor. It's Wednesday, March 20th. I'm Sarah Lohman, and here's what Las Vegas is talking about. Mary, how long have you been going to raves?
Well, Sarah, now that I'm actually counting, I've actually been raving since 2008. So about 16, 17 years. Yeah, I know. I guess I'm a seasoned veteran now, so to speak.
Okay, well, I need some help because I am 42 years old and I have never been to a rave. Like, do you think I would be welcomed at a rave?
Oh, yeah, of course. Everybody is welcome at the rave. I think there is this misconception that you have to be, you know, younger to rave, like in your early 20s, and then you have to give it up by 30. I have met people of all ages on the dance floor. I have friends who are well into their 60s. I have friends who are, you know, 22 and it's their first time coming out to the scene. So we love to have everybody, you know, on the dance floor, regardless age, gender, does not matter.
Oh my gosh, I had no idea. So, okay, I know that some people like to enjoy drugs and that helps them with the rave experience. Like, if I show up and I don't want to do drugs, am I like being left out? Is that awkward?
So I'm glad that you touched on this because I think there is this perception that you have to be on some type of drug or substance to really enjoy the rave. Mm-hmm. And I'm really here to tell you that that's not true at all. There is a huge community of sober ravers that we have who love to go and just enjoy the music. I tell people all the time, I've been to so many raves sober that the music just pumps you up. I mean, it really, it acts like a caffeine, like it gets your adrenaline going. So, you know, don't be pressured into feeling like you have to do something at the rave. If that's what you're into, then, you know, we accept that as well. We have programs at the rave that are there to help guide you through that. One of the programs is called End Overdose. They educate ravers on drug consumption and and testing your products and things of that sort. But if not, you can bring your smiling face only. That's not something that you're into.
Well, okay. So in that case, what makes a rave, in your opinion?
Oh, that's such a good question. So for me, the first thing that makes a rave is the music. That is number one, because that's why we're all there, right? For the music. The second thing that really ties in a rave for me are the people in attendance. I have met some of the most amazing people at raves. Actually, my whole friend group, I've met from raving, and I've known them for years and years and years. So the people definitely, definitely make a rave. And the third thing that would make a rave is an atmosphere, honestly. I mean, whether you're in the desert, you know, or you're at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, or you're in a warehouse, that environment in itself, it feeds into the vibe and the positivity that goes into the rave. So for me, those would be the top three things that make any rave a solid rave.
Do you have, what's like a really memorable experience for you, whether it was the, you know, the combination of all three or a setting, or what's the story that stands out in your memory?
So the first rave I actually ever went to was in 2008. And believe it or not, it was at the New Orleans.
No.
Yes. Every time I tell this story, nobody ever said, no way, the New Orleans. Yes. It was in a convention space there and it was called Sensation White. And it only originated in Europe. And then for that year, they came over to the United States. So it was a big trance rave. Everybody was wearing white. It was $80, which at the time for a college student, it was like, oh my gosh, that's a lot of money, but I'm going to do it anyway.
Yeah.
So I went with two of my best friends and oh man, I just knew the moment that I stepped in, I was like, yep, this is where I belong. These are my people. Definitely.
What was it? What was it that clicked with you?
To be honest, I think the thing that clicked with me the most was number one, everybody was so friendly and so accepting. And number two, it was a place where I felt like I could fully be myself, right? So I feel like in the world, when we move through, sometimes we feel like we have to put on a mask, a facade in order to fit in certain spaces. At the rave, I felt like there was no need for a mask. There was no need for a facade. There was no need to try to be, you know, this appropriate person. Like, I was allowed to be free and be myself. And that was something that I really embraced and I absolutely loved.
That is amazing. I'm okay. So out of curiosity, like, you know, you're raised here, you know, you got into raving 16 years ago. Has the rave culture in Vegas changed at all since you first got into it?
Yes, I would definitely say that the rave scene has changed here. And I would say it has changed for the better. It has only gotten bigger. We've expanded our community in those 16 years. I think the Electric Daisy Carnival has a lot to do with that. I feel like it kind of opened new doors for a lot of different DJs and a lot of different promoters to throw raves and festival events here. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely helped expand the scene out here for sure. Because when I first started, it was a very small knit community of people. And now it's just expanded so much and I love to see it.
So where does EDC fit into all of this? Did it come to Vegas because Vegas was already showing this interest in rave culture, or did it sort of bring more of the attention to Vegas?
So EDC actually originated in California, like most of the major rave scene in the on the West Coast. In 2010, it was thrown at the Los Angeles Coliseum. And at that time, that year had the most attendees that they've ever seen, right? So it was extremely crowded for the Coliseum. They had a lot of issues with people sneaking into the festival, people jumping over the fence into areas where they shouldn't have. Another issue that they had, unfortunately, were underage teenagers getting into the event. And unfortunately, someone did pass away, which resulted in the city of LA pretty much taking that whole festival out of Los Angeles. They did not want it there. So the Electric Daisy Carnival was looking for a home at that point. And Insomniac said, you know what? Why not move it to Las Vegas? It's the city of sin. You know, they have the Las Vegas Motor Speedway here, which will hold the capacity that they were looking for and then some as well. So in 2011, the Electric Daisy Carnival formally announced that they were moving to Las Vegas. And let me tell you, it broke the airwaves when it first came here. There were so many mixed emotions, right? Because in Los Angeles, they were saying, oh my gosh, no, we don't want to go all the way to Vegas. And then the people in Vegas, the residents were saying, oh my gosh, no, we don't want this rave scene here after, you know, the reputation that it had, right? So EDC had something to kind of prove.
Okay.
So when it came here in 2011, it was a hit. And it decided that, you know what, we're just going to make it the permanent home here. And it's been here ever since.
Oh, cool. Wow. So this is the 11th. No, I just lost track of time. This is the 13th year.
Yeah, I know. It's easy to lose track of time, like when you're talking about raving, because you're like, oh, my gosh, like that was not that long ago. So long ago.
I honestly feel like my brain just deleted the pandemic. So I skipped a couple years there in my mathematics.
Hey, it's David Figler, and one of my favorite food festivals is coming back to town. It's Vegas Unstripped over at the Palms Hotel on Saturday, May 18th. Over 24 chefs from some of Las Vegas's most talked about restaurants creating original, unique menu items they've never made before. Chef creativity at its best. We're talking chefs from Partage, Esther's Kitchen, Milpa, EDO, and more, including this year's James Beard Award finalist Steve Kessler from Aroma. Tickets are $150 and are all-inclusive of food and drink, so you don't have to pay for anything once you're inside. No hidden upcharges. I went last year, and it was so crowded in the best possible way. We got one remarkable dish after another, and while it was a little indulgent, here's the best part. The net proceeds go to local charities. So head on over to VegasUnstripped.com to get your tickets now. We'll see you there.
OK, Okay, but so, you know, word to the wise, in May, Las Vegas can be hot. It can be windy. It is very, very dry. So if someone in the city or visiting wants to go to EDC this year for the first time, what should they do to prepare?
So the first thing I tell people to do to prepare for EDC is do any type of physical fitness activity that you can, whether it's just walking, running, lifting weights, anything like that. A lot of people think it's just for the physical, but I don't think people realize that EDC, I tell everybody every year, it is a marathon, not a sprint. Wow. So you really want to make sure that you're hydrated, you're rested, you know, you're able to walk a couple of miles because there is a lot of ground to cover at EDC. So that's definitely one thing I would definitely do to prepare. The second thing that I recommend people to do is do your research. Go on YouTube. Go see some influencers that have been to EDC. Go to Reddit and look at some forums and, you know, it, get some type of insight on what other people who have been to the festival are experiencing. So that way you know what to expect as far as the traffic, because there is plenty of traffic to go around at EDC. So definitely prepare yourself for that.
Would you recommend a rideshare?
You know, I would recommend a rideshare if you plan on partying at EDC, definitely.
That's because,
you know, you don't want to sleep it off in that parking lot, especially when it's hot outside. That's not the last place you want to be.
Anything else that we should think of, someone should think about before they end up on site?
Definitely check the weather. EDC used to be in June where it was scalding hot. So we always knew what to wear, right? It was just
nothing.
Like shorts. Yeah, exactly. Close to nothing, or shorts and a t-shirt, or something that's got where the breeze can catch you. Now that it's in May, you have a lot more options for clothing, but definitely check the weather, because the daytime weather doesn't necessarily mean at nighttime it's going to be that, right? So the high can be 95, but the low will be 60, and then the breeze will come and you're like, oh my gosh, where's that little jacket that I need?
Yes.
So definitely prepare for the elements in that case. Bring some comfortable shoes, please. I cannot express this enough.
Oh, no high heels.
Yes. Oh no. And I mean, if you could wear high heels for all 12 hours of EDC, I mean, I'm there for you, girl. Yeah, exactly. I would recommend that for either of us. But if any girl out there can do it, by all means,
go for it.
Yeah, have at it, sister.
So what does it look like? Like when you walk through the front gate to go to EDC, what do you see? What can you experience?
So the great thing about walking into EDC is you actually kind of like walk into it from the top. So you park at the Las Vegas Motor Speedway, and then you walk through where they search you, and then you walk through this tunnel. And there's a couple of tunnels that you could walk through, but there's one tunnel that just has the really good view of everything. And when you're walking through, it's like, oh my gosh, okay. And then you're let out into just this open field full of rides and stages, and it just absolutely, oh yes, it's a carnival. So there's three different Ferris wheels. They have different, like, you know, kind of carnival rides, what you would expect at a carnival, right? So, you know, you're seeing the rides, you're seeing the stages, and every stage is so different. So you're just taking it all in, and you're walking down the bleachers to the speedway, and it's such a surreal feeling. It's so hard to really capture into words, like how you feel when you walk into it. The best way I would say it is like it just leaves you in awe, honestly. Yeah. It's just so big and fascinating.
Wow. Well, okay. So, you know, EDC is not the only festival or space to go to a rave in out there. Can you give me a sense of some of the do's and don'ts in general for showing up at a rave?
Yes, absolutely. So I guess the biggest one would be, do bring your positive attitude. Do not bring your negative attitude.
All right.
When you're raving, it is really, truly all about the vibes. You know, if you're having a bad time, it's going to relate to what you brought into it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you definitely want to bring your good vibes. Do bring like a small fanny pack or something that you can store your stuff in, because you will be dancing a lot. I will admit, I personally don't like to dance with a lot of stuff on me. You know, I'm moving around, the bag's hitting me. That's a lot. So definitely bring something small. You know, I can't think of any don'ts for the rave, to be honest with you, because it's just such a free place. The only mm-hmm. thing is just don't bring the negative attitude, really.
Yeah. I mean, compared to a regular nightclub, you know, one of the things that you've probably had experience with too in these spaces is that there's like a lot of unwelcome touch. You know, it's hookup culture, right? There's maybe like men that are trying to like dance up on you. And I think that's also like why women often will go to like a gay bar to dance too, because you can sort of just have your space and enjoy the music. Mm-hmm. Like where do you think raves kind of fall on that spectrum? Like, can I just go and dance and be chill and not be bothered if I don't want to?
Absolutely. I think the great thing about the rave community is that we all look out for each other on the dance floor. Mm-hmm. So it's not like in a club setting, because I've been there, right? You're in a club, you're dancing, mm-hmm. guys dancing up on you, and you're like, okay, how do I get out of this
situation?
No,
thank you.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You're like, I'm okay. Right? Like, safe space. So when you're in a rave, I'm not going to say that those advances don't come, mm-hmm. but there are a lot of people that are looking out for you, to where if someone is harassing you in a sexual manner, or they're just being annoying and they're just, you know, a little, you know, drunk and you need them out of your space, the gentleman will kindly come and, you know, say, hey, you know, you should probably leave her alone. Things of that nature. My husband and my rave crew are very big on that. We like to protect women on the dance floor and everybody on the dance floor. So I would definitely say, compared to clubs, the rave scene is a little more tight-knit when it comes to taking care of their people. So if you were to come alone or by yourself, always be aware of your surroundings, obviously. Right. But, you know, you can let your guard down a little knowing that the people there have your best interest.
Okay. So where else outside of like the big festivals can someone find a rave in Las Vegas?
So it's actually really not that hard to find a rave in Vegas now compared to the, you know, the older days where you had to call the flyer and then like, you know, get the instructions on a little voicemail.
That probably felt like secret mission.
It really did. It kind of felt like I was like, who can I relate to? Kim Possible. Like, I was just kind of like, oh my gosh, like, you know, call me, beat me, you know, I get the voicemail. So, but nowadays it's a lot easier. And I have social media to thank for that, honestly. Mm-hmm. One of the top ways to actually know where a rave is happening, and I tell this all the time, and it's, you got to know somebody. That's number one, mm-hmm. right? You got to know somebody who knows the ins and outs of the rave scene. If you don't know somebody who doesn't know the rave scene, downtown has a very, very good rave scene. Disco Pussy is one of the places that plays electronic music only. They're an electronic music only club. Mm-hmm. They are Thursday through Sunday, sometimes special events during the week.
Okay.
We All Scream is another one who actually throws
the ice cream place.
Yes. We are right. Raving and ice cream. Who would have thought in today's world, right? And sometimes they're able to throw some special events there. It's kind of the same promotion group that works for Disco Pussy. And then the Downtown Event Center actually will host a lot of different type of rave festivals and things like that. The bigger ones that they're known for holding are for our lovely bass heads out there. You know, they've had, I believe it's Excision and some other of his friends throw a yearly party down there as well.
Okay. And is there any club on the strip that does rave music?
You know, there are a few that still do. I would say Marquee is one of them.
Okay.
Anywhere where Tiesto is playing, where Calvin Harris is playing,
right?
That's going to be where the rave is at, honestly. But I would say downtown is more of where the rave culture lives because it's a little more laid back. It's not, mm-hmm. you know, where you have to get dressed up in your finest suit and tie or your dress to go to the club. It's like, you know, downtown is more of like, okay, throw on jeans and a t-shirt, or you can wear what you would wear to EDC to those places and things like that and not be hassled for it. So although the strip, you know, they do have some electronic music nights at the main clubs, downtown is mostly where it is.
And would you say the most beginner-friendly venues are down there?
Oh, absolutely. I would say beginner friendly would be in the downtown area. Again, Disco Pussy is my favorite place. Mm-hmm. Not only do they have, you know, DJs who come in out of town to come play electronic music, they also have their own little group that plays electronic music too, local DJs, because it's always good to support the local talent here. We do love that in the rave scene.
Well, I, you know, if there's someone who's coming in to visit who's listening to this and wants to find a rave, like, get in that Uber, go downtown. You want to see some old Las Vegas anyway. It's such a neighborhood. It's a great neighborhood, too, because it is a crossover of tourists and locals, too. And that's always the spot where I want to hang, right?
Yeah, absolutely. You want to be where the locals are at because you know the locals know what's happening. So
yeah. So why is electronic music an important part of the music scene here in Las Vegas?
So I think electronic music is important to Las Vegas culture in general because it is a different scene that allows people to be themselves. But there's so many different types of subgenres that just come from the electronic music scene. It's like, I've been in the scene since 2008. I've seen electronic music move from the underground to the nightclubs and then back underground. So I think the fact that it's so fluid, like ravers can just party anywhere. We'll party at the warehouse. We'll party at the nightclub. You give us a space and we're there. We're raving. We're there for it. And I think that's why it's so important here in Vegas is that the community is really what makes it important. The music is a definitely important part of it, but it's the people in the community that really do make the rave scene so important to hear. I think because it was so small to begin with, and we've all seen it grow, that we're all just like, oh my gosh, like, this is just so awesome.
Mary, thank you so much for talking to me. Yeah, I have to admit, this is the sort of thing that will make me anxious in anticipation of it. But like, once I get there and start dancing, I know that I will be like happy as a clam.
Oh, I honestly, as soon as the music hits you, it's like all the worries and everything go away. And then once the people come up and start talking to you, you'll be fine. I can see you thriving at a rave. I really can. We have 2 months to get you prepared for Electric Daisy Carnival, girl. So whenever you are ready, you let me know.
Okay, I will. Mary, thank you so much for coming on today.
Thank you for having me. I really appreciate you guys.
That's all for today here on CityCast Las Vegas. If you enjoyed the show, tell a friend who you would take to a rave. Also, don't forget to subscribe to our morning newsletter. We'll be back tomorrow morning with more news from around the city. And hey, you know what? Maybe I'll see you at EDC this year. Take care.